Blog Talk Radio.
Have tuned in to Home, Helen R. Ministry of Empowerment. Welcome home. Truly today is the day that the Lord hath made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. I hear the scripture saying, oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us, yes, you, and you. Let us exalt that wonderful name of Jesus on together on today, as he is such a wonderful Savior, awesome counselor, and a mighty, mighty God. I want you to know on today, I have another wonderful lesson for you on today, and I know without a shadow of a doubt that you are going to be tremendously blessed from the word of the Lord on today. And so I want you to grab your Bible, come right on in, and just make yourself right at home. I know for sure you're going to be tremendously blessed by the word on today as we contextualize it for the relevancy of today's living, for today's living. Let's look at Matthew's chapter number 4. That's where we're going to be looking at Matthew 4 and also in Matthew chapter number 5. But in chapter 4 of Matthew, verses 23 through verse 25, and I'm going to read that in your hearing, and then we're going to look at Matthew's chapter 1, verses 1 through 12. And it reads on this line, and when Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in the synagogue and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of diseases among the people. And his fame went throughout all Samaria, and they brought unto him all sick people that were taken with diverse diseases and torments, and those which were possessed with devils, those which were lunatics, and those that had the palsy. And he healed them, and there followed him a great multitude of people from Galilee and Decapolis and Jerusalem and from Judea and from beyond Jordan. Now let's take a look at Matthew chapter 5, verses 1 through 12. And seeing the multitude, he went up into a mountain, and when he was set, his disciple came unto him. And he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are they the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, they shall be filled. Blessed are they are the merciful, so they shall attain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemaker, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, and for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you, and shall speak all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. Now, the verse that we want to focus in on today is out of Matthew chapter 9, verse 35. And Jesus went out about all the cities and villages, teaching in the synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. Now, on today, we're going to be looking at the magnitude of Jesus' ministry, how it was illustrated by the power of his teaching and the extensive nature of his miracle. So let's take a look at this. Now, Jesus was the Word made flesh, and we'll find that over in John chapter 1, verses 14. He obviously used words to disciple, and he backed up his speeches and speech with miracles. Jesus showed us his authority over death, disease, demon, as well as nature. When Jesus spoke, his word had special meaning because he proved he could provide for his followers Peter noted this care on the day of Pentecost, the birthday of the church. Peter stated, "Ye men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourself also know." Acts chapter 2, verses 22. The evidence of Jesus' miraculous ministry was a strong appeal that resulted in many conversions. Now, let's take a look at the lesson for life. Let's take a look at that. And we'll find that over on the Sermon on the Mount. Number one, the be happy attitudes. Let's take a look at that. Jesus is known for teaching the Beatitudes. While the gospel record one instance of this sermon, it is probably Jesus taught these concepts continually during his ministry on earth. We can read of Jesus' sermon with these attitudes in Matthew 5, verses 7 to verse number, verse 7, or even through chapter 7, verse 29 as well. Now, the term blessed should be understood as a happy or contented state. Nine times Jesus used this term in the beginning of his sermon, this particular one. These Beatitudes are not meant to be multiple choices elements, rather they are the sum totals of a preferred believer's attitude. Now, these attitudes served as a personal measurement of our spiritual walk with God. Happiness or blessedness, according to Christ, does not happen according to our wishes, but according to God's will. Now, through testimony of faithfulness, believers in present and past ages, we can realize that the absolute truth of these Beatitudes. Further, let's look at number two, rules for righteousness. While the Beatitudes are general in nature, Jesus became more direct in the rest of his sermon. He spoke on guidelines for money, attitude towards others, and the elimination of worries. He also encouraged prayer in his Sermon on the Mount, for this is the most valuable tool for a relationship with God and for self-examination. Called the pattern of prayer outlined in the Sermon on the Mount, the Lord's Prayer. If this was a consistent prayer, we actually recited it verbatim. We would imitate a playback device. Whether a child of God recognized that this prayer to be a pattern for personal prayer, Jesus stated, "After this manner, therefore pray ye. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom," that means praising him, "thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven." That means we're submitting ourselves unto the will of God. Then we have the prayer request, "Give us this day our daily bread." Then repentance, forgiveness, and thankfulness, and forgive us our debt as we forgive our debtors. Then we have self-examination, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And then finally, we close it out with another praise, "For thine is the kingdom, the power, the glory, forever. Amen." And you find it over in Matthew chapter 6, verses 9 to verse number 13. So we have it here. We have praise, submission, prayer requests, forgiveness and thankfulness, self-examination, and then closing out with prayer. Now, reflecting on these six areas of our personal prayer help us to develop a balanced approach to prayer and guide us to seek God's purpose for our lives. Now, the Sermon on the Mount challenges us to change our focus from things in the world to heavenly priority. Indeed, before embracing things non-believers feel are important to their welfare, a child of God should examine them in the light of the Scripture and the eternal values. Jesus concluded his message, "And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not, shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand." Matthew 7 and verse 26. Jesus' sermon was unlike any others. Jesus impacted the world both by his miracles as well as his teaching. Now, Matthew 7, verses 28 and 29 state, "And it came to pass when Jesus had ended this saying, the people were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as having authority and not as the scribes." So here he is showing and demonstrating his power. Now let's look at the parable. Jesus spoke often in parable, which gave maximum impact to his teaching. Parables contain elements similar to the average person, which enabled Jesus to communicate spiritual truth that transformed life. Parables are dynamic. Life events constantly change, but the truth of God's word is unchanging, and it's continually offer a fresh perspective for contemporary symptoms. The content of his parable included elements related to farming, fishing, shepherding, weddings, and business practices. These areas are familiar to his hearers, and then people today still understand them. Let's look at his aspect coming from as a good shepherd. Jesus referred to himself as a good shepherd. This comparison will suggest compassion and protection for those who follow him. Sheep were considered to be valuable commodities, and therefore a good shepherd would use whatever means necessary to protect his sheep. Jesus stated, the hireling fleeth, but he is an hireling and careth not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd and know my sheep and am known of mine. You'll find that over in John 10, verses 13 through 14. Let's look at the vine and the branches. Jesus spoke of himself as being the branches and as being the vine and his followers as being the branches. Now, branches give naturally and grow naturally from the main stem or vine. Fruit grown on the branches requires nutrients that must travel from the vine. Jesus said, "If you abide in me and my word abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that you may bear much fruit. So shall you be my disciple." And you find that over in John 15, verses 7 through 8. Now, Jesus desired to continue bearing of fruit. The passage revealed that our prayers are blessed if we are fully submitted to his will. Let's take a look at that. It is critical for us as the children of God is to stay and it's critical for us to abide in the will of the Lord. And I'm going to stop for just a moment because I want to take authority, devil and demon that's fighting even right now. Father, we take authority right now over every demonic forces that's fighting against this blessing on today. Father, we rebuke every coughing demon. We rebuke every interruption of the airway, and we take authority over it right now in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. His word shall go forth. It shall go forth in clarity. In Jesus' wonderful name we pray. Amen. Come on, won't you just shout hallelujah with me? Because the devil don't want you to hear what God is speaking unto the church today and his heart in regards, in reference to the wonderful work that he done. Because once you tap into the principles of God and begin to embrace those things that God has already laid out for us, then you're going to see the miraculous power flowing in and through your life. Now, one of the tricks and things of the enemy is that he wants you just to have half knowledge. And God wants us to know all that it is that we need to do as children of God to be able to tap into all of the resources, all of the many blessings and the riches of his glory that he's already given to us through his son, Jesus. And so whenever the enemy comes to interrupt, he means that he doesn't want you, yes, you, the hearer, to hear or to receive the impartation of this word on today and even the principle. Now, if you can grab a hold to the principle and begin to act out, live out the principle, then your life will be able to be transformed as well as to move forward into the things of God, and you'll start seeing the manifestation thereof. Remember, we said, and this does not take away from the plan of salvation, this talking about once you begin to operate in the will of God after being born again. Now, he did say that he reigned from the just as well as the unjust, but, amen, we want to continue to look at what he is saying. Now, the principles are very critical, and I want to stop here and go back over this really point really quick, even if we have to stop here for just a moment and things or stay here. In these principles of abiding in God and in the Word, it's critical to turn our hearts, hear me, children of God, turn our hearts back to the Word of God and begin to look well into the matter. Not only look well into the matter, but become a storehouse of the Word of God. Remember, he said, if you abide in me. And how are we going to abide in him? We're going to stay in his word. We're going to be faithful to the things of God. We're going to allow the word to take root in our life. And we're going to ask God to allow those words that he has given unto us to be manifested in our lives, that we can start practicing them, living them things out. So go back and look at the Beatitudes again and begin to not just remember them, but begin to embrace them in your lifestyle. Oh, come on, child of God. You get ready to get your blessing, amen. The devil don't want you to hear this. That's why he's doing everything to do to stop for you, to really tapping into seeing the blessings of the Lord. Now, he said, if you stay, abide in me, and I abide in you, you can ask what you will. There it is right there. That's the key. He said, ask me what you will. It shall be done of my Father, which is in heaven. And so that's the very important key for the children of God to recognize and to understand, is that when you stay in the will, amen. I'm not talking about knowing church, amen, because guess what? A lot of people know church. A lot of people know religious rites and ceremonies and how to come in and out and things. I'm talking about that blood-bought child of God that is believing God, that is walking up right before the Lord our God and seeking his divine will each and every day, amen, to live holy and righteously before the Lord our God, amen, doing and commissioned to do his will, amen. That's who I'm speaking to today, amen, that as you begin to tap into the will of God, the principle of God, the heart of God, go back, read the Beatitude. Go back and read what happened on the Sermon on the Mount and understand the teachings of Jesus, what he was teaching the disciple. This messed up the mind of the chief scribes and the high priests and the chief priests, amen, and things, and the high priests and things. It messed their minds up when Jesus was talking like this, because they was looking for something else, and then it was messing up their game that they was playing on the people, amen. And so here, that's why the enemy got mad, amen. And I'm going to tell you, when you're tapping into truth and when you're moving into the things of God, the devil ain't going to let you sit there and let you just get truth without fighting you. And so if you find yourself even in a big fight right now, that's because you're coming into the truth of the knowledge of the word and the will of God regarding your life, amen. And don't look back. Press in and press forward, amen. Now let's look at the second calling and coming that has been prophesied, actually the second coming. Now, according to Willington Dyes to the Bible, Jesus noted to have been given at least 45 predictions. Some of these predictions related to his trial and execution and resurrection. These were all fulfilled prediction. The church can have faith in Jesus' prophecy, even of his second coming. And we know as a church and as a people of God and things that Jesus is on his way back. Amen. We don't know the day or the hour that the Son of Man comes, but we know as never before are the signs that are in the sky. Amen. That we know that Jesus is soon to come in the sky and call for his church, his people, and things to rapture them out. Now, God provided warning that believers could be prepared in the midst of a stressful time. Jesus stated, "In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer." Here it is. "I have overcome the world." John 16:33. Now, let's put that, let's contextualize that now. And see, let us unpack that for just a moment. When you begin to find yourself in trials and great tribulation and things coming up against you, you can use this same word that Jesus said. He said, "In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." What you can begin to do is to tell your circumstances that you're standing in the overcoming power of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Every trial should have a word, a prophetic word for it. And this prophetic word have already been spoken through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And all you need to do is release that word. Oh, my God. Release it on your circumstances. That's how you can take the dominion and demonstrate dominion over your circumstances and situation. It's not about the money. It's not about your resources. It's not about who you can call and things, but it's about your faith. Do you believe in the written word of God? And I know you do. All you need to do is open your mouth and begin to declare it in the mighty name of Jesus. Now, let's look further. Now, the gospel also records as well over 80 times that Jesus used the term Son of Man. Jews knew the direct Messiah references to this term from Daniel's writing. "I saw in the night vision, and behold, one like the Son of Man came with me, the cloud of heaven, and came to the Ancient of Day, and they brought him near before him, and there was given him dominion and glory and a kingdom that all people, nation, and language should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away, and his kingdom that which shall not be destroyed." That's Daniel 7, verses 13 and 14. Further, while Jesus was on trial, he said, "Ye shall see the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of the power and coming in the clouds of heaven." Mark 14:62. Now, this is the reason the high priest rent his clothes and said, What need we further witness? Ye have heard the blasphemy. What think ye? And they all condemned him to be guilty of death. Mark 14:63 and 64. Now let me stop again and park right here for a moment. Again, I want to bring to your attention that it was the high priest, amen. They was the ones that was upset with Jesus because they didn't like the doctrine in which he was bringing in. Again, it was messing up their theology, their understanding of the word of God and their practice thereof and things and their study thereof. And so it was messing that up, messing them up in a crazy way and things like that because they were taking the control and the power from them, and God was telling them through his son Jesus what he was requiring for his kingdom. And the children of God, they was looking, the children of Israel was looking for him to come back and establish an earthly kingdom, and he didn't establish that earthly kingdom. He established a spiritual kingdom here on earth. Oh, child of God, it's much further, it's much deeper than what you can think, amen? And that's why we stay in prayer. That's why we call on the name of the Lord so that he can open up our understanding, revelate us, and that the eyes of our understanding will be open, amen? Now, let's look at the miraculous ministry. Now, he demonstrated power over death. Now, the scripture records that Jesus demonstrated power over death. Each time there were many who confirmed the actual death and witnessed the resurrection. Now, Jairus was a ruler of the synagogue whose 12-year-old daughter was sick. Shortly after Jairus appeared to Jesus for help, a messenger came saying, "Thy daughter is dead. Trouble not the master." But when Jesus heard it, he answered him, saying, "Fear not, believe only. She shall be made whole." Luke chapter 8, verse 49 and 50. When Jesus arrived, critics laughed at him when he said, "She is not dead, but sleepeth." Luke 8 and 52. Jesus put them out and took her by the hand and called, saying, "Maid, arise." And her spirit came again, and she arose straightway. And he commanded to give her meat. Luke 8:54 and 55. Now, there was another occurrence of Jesus raising someone from the dead, was the raising of Lazarus. A message came to Jesus that Lazarus was sick. However, instead of immediately going to assist him, and Jesus and his disciple waited. Lazarus died and was buried. This provided a setting for the miraculous. And you don't know what God is doing in your situation. He's setting a situation for the miraculous to take place. If you haven't seen change yet, watch God do it for you and your family. Now, for the most, had no hope that Lazarus would live again. But with Jesus, all things are possible. John 11:41 and 43. Let us look further. It says here in the scripture, "Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid, and Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, 'Father, I thank thee that thou hearest me, and I know that thou hearest me always, but because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me.' And when he had thus had spoken, he cried with a loud voice, 'Lazarus, come forth.'" John 11:41-43. "Lazarus rose from the dead, and many people were amazed." The greatest account of the resurrection in the gospel was of Jesus himself, as we know that. After suffering a cruel death on the cross, Jesus was buried, and the third day he rose again. The resurrected Jesus was seen by hundreds for over 40 days. When Jesus stated, "I am the resurrection, the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die." John 11:25 and 26. Now, let's look at demonstrated power over demons. Jesus demonstrated his power over demons at least 7 times as recorded in the scripture. Fear over the devil power was broken as people noticed Jesus' authority. Not only did Jesus have this power, he also gave this power also to his disciples. He commissioned 70 disciples to go among the city to minister. Afterwards, the 70 returned again with joy, saying, "Lord, even the devil are subject unto us through thy name." And he said unto them, "I beheld Satan as lightning falling from heaven. Behold, I give power unto you to tread on serpents and scorpions and over the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you." Luke 10:17-19. Now, also he had and demonstrated power over nature as well as over the needs of the people as well. The protection of the disciple, Jesus showed himself powerful over the elements to his disciples. And you can find those recorded in Mark. Jesus said to his disciple, "Let us pass over unto the other side." And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he were in the ship. And there was also with him other little ships. Now Jesus fell asleep in the lower part of the boat, and soon afterwards a storm arose. The The trained fishermen realized the disastrous potential of sinking, and they woke Jesus, asking if he cared about their situation. And he said unto them, "Why are ye so fearful, ye of little faith?" Then he arose and rebuked the wind and the sea, and there was a great calm. That's in Matthew chapter 8, verse 26. And so you'll see that. You'll see him feeding of the hungry. We'll see him with the tax and the money. We'll see him also sharing the power over the cursing of the tree. Now, he also had demonstrated power over sickness and disease. And so you must recognize that his power is just so profound. Jesus demonstrated his power over sickness and disease as he ministered to the hurting individual everywhere he went. People cried out their needs and, in spite of the crowd, reached out and touched him. The gospel records numerous miracles that occurred in Jesus' ministry, each occurring through one of these avenues. Most commonly, individual had faith in Jesus and called out to him for help. A second avenue through which miracles of healing came involved family members or friends who brought and sought out Jesus on behalf of their loved one's need. And third, Jesus sometimes addressed the need of a person first, calling that individual to a place of faith and healing. Now, there are many examples of people who demonstrated faith when they came to Jesus for healing. And we know the woman who had the issue of blood, Bartimaeus, who was blind, and the 10 lepers. These are all examples and things of their faith. And even as Hebrews said, "But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." That's Hebrews 11 and 6. Now, further, we must recognize that his ministry and the miracle, they continue. John concluded his gospel saying, "There are also many other things which Jesus did, the which, if we should have written every one, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that should be written." John chapter 21 and 25. Now, this statement is not only true for earthly ministry of Jesus, but also for the early church. The book of Acts records innumerable continual signs and wonders by the power of Jesus Christ, which operated through his church. One may be astonished to read of many miracles performed by Jesus Christ, but we should also remember his promise was to those who follow him. "Verily, verily, I say unto you, that he that believeth on me, the work that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father." The book of Acts shows numerous miracles the apostle and followers of Christ performed. Now, Jesus' main ministry was to redeem mankind from sin, therefore making salvation possible for those who are converted. Jesus demonstrated his lordship over every area of life. He showed authority over disease, demon, and death. He was able to control all elements of both the natural and supernatural. Jesus' ministry showed a complete concern over one's mind, body, and soul. His miracles showed that he was an enabler of vision, hearing, speech, and mobility. A person who encountered Jesus was never the same again. Jesus' assistance to others was performed out of compassion. He never performed a miracle out of selfish gain. If we are impressed by his miraculous work, then surely we should trust in his word. Every day we face distraction that would lead us away from God's teaching. It is therefore essential that we discipline ourselves to focus on God's word. From the Bible, we understand that God's people are destined with purpose. We should not fear the task before us, for Jesus is not limited by our weaknesses. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Hebrews 13 and 8. Jesus desired us to have confidence. His teaching us and teaching is meaningful for us today. Miracles are still happening. Lives are still being changed. Jesus tells us, "I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I live forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and of death. Revelation chapter number 1 and verse 18. Oh, my Father God, I know that you've been blessed on today, because I know that the enemy did not want you to hear the word on today, but I know that you are blessed in a mighty and a special way. And I want to pray for you as we get ready to conclude this lesson on today. Remember the principles of God. Contextualize and use them in your life. Go back and read the Beatitudes and get an understanding of how God wants us to think, what type of attitude that God wants us to have in this life. Amen. And that could be pleasing unto him, and begin to embrace those things that he's already laid out to us, and let us stop saying that this is just the way we are. No, God have a whole new plan and way for us, and we must go back and search it out through his word and embrace it, and again have it as a part of our daily lifestyle. Father, we come right now and we hasten unto your throne room in grace, God, right now, and ask that you help us to embrace and reread, oh God, the Beatitudes, and understand your sermon that was on the mount when you was teaching your people your will and your way. Help us to embrace it and take it on, Father, in our life, Father, as never before. And Father, we bind the devil, we bind the forces of darkness that will come up and fight and impede against your children of God as never before, that will want to overthrow them and keep them from being all that you call them out to be. But Father, this time we render our lives into your hand. We roll our lives in, Father, and bind it together with the word of God, which you have already ordained for us as the children of God. And we cry unto thee and say, your will be done, God. Your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven, Father. And God will praise your blessed name. Let your peace abide. Let your joy abide. Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, let your people be impacted by these teaching, God, that they will understand you, Father, that a fool need not err, God, and we'll give you the glory and the honor and the praise. And we say, thank you, for your goodness, your mercy, and your grace. God, we'll praise your blessed name and give you the glory. In Jesus' wonderful, wonderful name we pray. Amen and amen. And so, child of God, it has been another glorious time to be with you on today, and I know without a shadow of a doubt that God is blessing you. Amen. And I'm praying that God will bless you with a no sorrow blessing. Amen. So call someone, invite someone to home where you get the word of God as we contextualize it for the relevancy of today's living. I know that you will be blessed. And so in my conclusion, as I always would say, if you don't have it, God got it. And you are just one question away from your miracle. Yes, your miracle. All you need to do is ask, and it shall be given unto you. Seek, and ye shall find, and knock, and it shall be open unto you. And so until we meet again, may the blessings of the Lord make you rich and add no sorrow. Until we meet again, God bless you. Bye-bye.